of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, everybody. Yeah, yeah, it's 2019. No more, Jeffy. No more. 2020. 2020. That's what my vision is. How many bad jokes did you hear about 2020 vision and Barbara Walters New Year's Eve?
Not one.
Really? You didn't hear any?
Nope. I don't hang out with people who tell those type of jokes.
It wasn't hanging out. It was kind of just all over the earth.
I also hung out with people and had conversations. Wasn't on my phone at all for the new year. Took not one photo. Was proud of myself for that, actually.
Really? No pictures taken, huh?
Not one. No, didn't take a photo. Didn't Instagram any of the food. I ate some delicious stuff. Didn't do anything.
Yeah, I don't think I did that either.
Just lived it. Just really lived it. Didn't you know? It's really, yeah. It just happened.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, it felt good.
That's impressive. That's really impressive. Good for you, bro. Well, New Year's Eve for me was it was fun. I mean, it was really low key. We were at my in-laws' house. We didn't do anything special.
Oh, come on, Nana and Papa turned up.
Dewey and Grandpa, you mean?
Oh, sorry. Dewey and
Dewey and Grandpa, turn up.
Turn it up.
That's right.
Do it.
That's right. Yeah, so we didn't do much, man. We hung out over there with them and counted down, and I think I was back to the house by, I mean, it wasn't late, that's for sure. We watched a ball drop. Like, who came up with the ball drop thing? How dumb is that?
I think it's ridiculous. The fact, you know what I really hate? Seeing all the people who crowd under the ball dropping.
You afraid it's going to hit them?
I don't like... It's so cold. There's so many people. It's so hard to maneuver in New York when there's that many people crowded to see something. And it's like, they're just seeing this ball fall. Like, I don't get it. I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of big party atmosphere that's a good time, but it's so cold and so crowded, it just seems stressful.
You know, I can't think of any good self-respecting New Yorker that would go see the ball drop in New York City. Do you know anybody?
I'm sure there's a couple out there that, because they have, like, traditions. You know, everyone has their own traditions, and I'm not trying to shit on them. I'm just saying, for me personally, it seems like a small nightmare.
Yeah, it just seems awful, man. There's no reason I'd ever want to go be a part of that nonsense. I mean, maybe I'm old. That's what it is. It's not my thing, dude. I don't want to be a part of that. Like, that whole thing sounds terrible to me.
If we were going to be able to, like, say, take a little bit of LSD and, like, go there together and just see what happens.
Sounds like a terrible idea.
I would do that.
I would think I was Iceman from the X-Men.
That would be amazing.
Why would that be so great? That sounds terrible. I might get hurt.
Because I would be making the ice sound effects behind you as you pushed out your powers.
So I would think I was really doing something. I would think I was doing something then, right?
I'd hope so.
I don't know, man. What I do know is that being in the middle of Times Square, it sounds like a terrible idea. That's all. That's the one thing I do. Now, I was very content having a beautiful filet and roast tenderloin, roast chicken dinner at my in-law's house. I was happy with that. That made me happy. That's all it was. Well, listen, Happy New Year, everybody. 2020 is now upon us. It kind of just sounds weird to even say. It sounds like we're in the future now, doesn't it?
It absolutely is the future, man. I was freaking out about just the thought of it being 2020. I remember when I was a kid thinking like 1999 was going to be this crazy year, you know, something crazy was going to happen. Cause, and I might not even live that long because it's going to be so crazy.
How old am I going to be in 2020? Jeez.
Yeah. And then I remember they were like, oh, 2015, that's when the government's going to let everybody know about the thing. And then I heard it was going to be in 2018. Then I heard it was going to be 2020.
What are we going to hear about?
And then 2012 came and went. The Aztecs said things were going to end and stop and keep going. Who knows?
Well, they didn't say. The calendar just reset after that.
Well, they didn't say anything. We just found a bunch of stuff, and we're like, oh, that's what this means.
Yeah, clearly that means something bad's going to happen, right?
Well, clearly. Anything, I think, to sell umbrellas.
Oh, were the Aztecs umbrella sellers? I didn't know that.
I don't know. I mean, there's doom and gloom. You know what I mean? Like, you're out there. It's just like, oh, man, it's going to be shitty today. Get your umbrella. Hey, come on. Hey.
All right.
You know, it's like...
Well, that sounds awesome. What the? Whoa. Who saw this coming, Jeff? Holy shit.
Wow. I never know when he's coming.
No. Hey, Dave.
Sommelier, bitches.
Still not really close. It's close enough.
Google it.
Dave was very upset. You were saying the Aztecs, Dave. It's not the Aztecs, correct?
No, it's the fucking Mayan calendar, you asshole. Okay? Like...
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But here it is, the tone. See, there's the tone. Dave has tonal issues when he speaks. Like, he sounds angry when he's not really angry.
I'm not angry at all.
But you came in here hot, though.
I don't know, man. Just always coming in hot, I guess.
Dave, 2019 was a big year for you, right?
Yeah, it's still a blur. I haven't like fully processed it.
Well, that's a good thing, man. I think because when you have, I think 2019 overall was a good year. I'm happy with 2019. It makes me excited to see what happens in 2020. And what drives me nuts is when people say, you know, 2020 was gonna, what's 2020 gonna bring for us? Man, it's not gonna bring shit. You gotta make it happen yourself. You gotta get off your ass and make shit happen if you want something to happen in 2020. It doesn't happen on its own, trust me. I am speaking the truth when it comes to this. If I'm wrong, gentlemen, chime
Preach.
In.
Go ahead.
You know. So go get on. Off your ass. Do something. Change the world. Do something fun. Do something you never wanted to do. That's all. That's all.
Wanted.
That's it. That's all you got to do.
Go on.
Oh, let me keep going? All right.
Yeah, keep going.
I'll tell you one thing that's going to happen here.
Go on. Preach.
I'll tell you one fun thing that's happening in 2020, Jeffy, and we can talk a little bit about it here. Starting next Friday, the first episode of Elite Chef. That's right, Elite Chef, produced by Pork Belly Productions in association with A Little Bird Social Media and Eli's Restaurant Group. The first episode of Elite Chef premieres next Friday. It's already happening, Jeffy. See, we're already there.
That is insane, and I'm super excited. I'm super excited to see how many times the camera catches me staring off into space.
I tried to get rid of some of those shots. And Dave, we're trying to get you involved, but you don't want to stop doing mushrooms or something. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, man, priorities. Nah, I'm busy. I'm actually busy on Thursdays every time, so I'm trying to figure it out. I'll get out there. Maybe this week coming up.
Well, it's going to be really fun. Our first episode is our tavern episode. It takes place at Eli's Tavern in Milford, Connecticut. Actually, a pretty cool bar. I'd probably hang out at that place. The bar seems fun.
Dude, they had so many beers on tap. I wanted to hang out, but we had to go to come do the podcast after the shoot. But that place was gorgeous. I mean,
it was a pretty cool spot, right?
I thought it was great. I think it's right off the train line, which is fun.
It's easy. Yeah, super easy. I mean, there's a lot of great spots like that, and that's what the whole point of this program is. Elite Chef is we had over 100 people audition, and we selected 7. And out of those 7 people, they compete every week in a restaurant-style food competition. So we go to each different restaurant out of the Eli's Restaurant Group, and they compete in a food competition based on the style of restaurant that we are at. We're eliminating one each week to crown one. It's like Highlander, you guys. We're going to crown one elite chef, and that guy's going to win a great prize package, including a nice cash prize and a great media pack. It's going to be a lot of fun.
What's that song they played?
What song?
It's like, here we are, all two kings. We got that one.
What song is that?
Yeah. And then the guitar's like, and then it breaks and it's like, I am immortal. That whole shit.
That one.
What is the song? Yeah. I don't know what we're talking about.
Theme song to Highlander, bro.
Oh.
The series.
Now I got you. The theme song to Highlander. Well, look, this is the fun part, man. We're doing this. We're going to get down to one. They're going to win a great cash prize. The first episode starts next Friday. It'll be all over social media and all kinds of places. The teaser, actually, as a matter of fact, gentlemen, comes out next Monday. So you'll get a little taste of it then. And then the other episode comes out.
Where are we going to see all that? Where can people find it when it's going to be out? Where are they going to look for it?
Yeah, so it's going to live on Facebook and on ctbytes.com. It's going to be a digital series. It's branded content for the Eli's Restaurant Group. It was very humbling to have them ask us to do this. And so we're making it great, man. And listen, if you guys saw me doing Restaurant Road Trip, I don't play games. If we're going to make it, it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And, Jeffy, you saw some of the rough cut already. So, you know, without giving anything away.
I'll do. I'm super excited. I'm super excited for everybody that's involved, because it's just, I don't want to give anything away. It's going to be awesome. You guys got to tune in. You got to check it out.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to be pushing the hell out of it, because I'm pushing the hell out of it, one, because it's really fun to do, and two, the chefs involved need a platform, and trust me, we got some people that could be, you know, you think you see a front runner, you think you see all that, but next thing you know, we got these dark horses that are in there. It's fun.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I've seen nothing that's been happening coming.
Yeah, it's me too. It's really been off. It's funny, you put people in a competition situation, and those of you who have done Food Network shows or Hell's Kitchen or shows like that, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you can be the best chef in the world, but if you've never done a lot of competing and I put you in a competition, everything kind of gets a little frazzled. It changes the game a little bit, and you know, you got the biggest piece of advice I tell these guys, and Jeff, you hear it every week when I talk to them. I say, stay in your lane, do what you do, don't try to reinvent the wheel. The last thing we want to hear on a food competition show, and I hate it when they fucking do it on all the shows on TV now, and they're like, I hope the judges see that I'm really trying to push myself, I'm really trying to, you know, push myself as a chef and kind of think outside the box. No one gives a fuck about that. No one cares if you push yourself. Go win. Go do what you do. That's why you're there. So I'm really pushing that on these chefs.
Unless you're good at going outside of the box and that's your thing.
Yeah, but I don't know if I've really seen a lot of people who are good at doing that, you know?
No, that's it. Well, I mean, there are some people who are really amazing at doing that, like a freestyle rapper or something.
Okay.
But
here's an example, Jeff. If we were going to have a New York-style pizza competition, I would think Dave probably wouldn't do very well.
I can make all styles of pizza, mm-mm, so calm that shit down.
900 degree oven, pun.
Oh,
as long as the oven's hot, he can spin them. You have no idea.
Hey, I mean, okay, honestly, isn't like a fucking brick oven? Doesn't that go up to almost 1200 degrees? And if you're doing a fucking
firing clay,
it can. I mean, but
or like 1000 degrees or some shit.
What are you talking about?
Hmm.
Detroit is the sixth ring of hell, I've decided.
It is.
Physics do not matter there.
All right, you know what? Plum's got a pizza oven, so yes. We're going to have just like a fucking pizza cook-off at Plum's house.
How do you get there? Do you have to go through Gary, Indiana to get to Detroit? Is that a thing? Like, it's like the, because I would imagine that's probably the fifth ring.
It depends which way you're coming from.
Well, it depends on which way you're coming.
Yeah.
Jesus. And then we go there, and then
you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
And then we come home. That's what happens.
I bet you can get herpes and plenty of casserole.
Ew.
Well, you know what? I've never gotten herpes, and I've lived there.
What?
So, yeah.
You've never gotten checked then.
I've gotten every 3 months, bro.
Dave, you have AIDS. We know this. It's published national thing.
Jesus fuck. You can still get checked for Lyme disease as well.
I'm good.
No, you got bit by a tick. I hope you have fucking Lyme disease.
I don't have any ticks or nothing.
Dave,
I'm good.
Pretty serious. You were really suffering, and to wish it on one of your good friends like that is a stand-up guy, man. I'm proud of you.
It's hurtful.
Yeah, well, you know what? Did you notice I didn't wish it on you, Jeff, because you don't keep calling it AIDS?
No, I call it the Lymes because that's what it is.
No, it's just one Lyme.
You know what? I will take the limes over AIDS.
No, it's just, all day. It's only one lime. It's not it's a singular disease.
I'm pretty sure they're both sexually transmitted in Montauk.
Lyme? Oh, maybe in Montauk, but nowhere else in the world.
You'd be getting the limes. You're getting deep in that limes in Montauk.
Our good friend Robbie's chiming in. He just texted and said, AIDS. All right, check it out, you guys. We've had a great year, 2019. We're going to recap some of the fun shows that we've had. We're going to talk about them, talk about some of the guests, talk about some of the, you know, what may have happened after the show that you don't know about, because there is a few stories. And then Jeffy's got a couple of news stories for us, man. So it should be a fun show. Next week, we're really excited, you guys. Really, really excited. We got a fantastic show. It's a show that I was really excited to do. And we did already pre-record the interview. I'm not going to hide that. But it's only a time we could really do it. We got Chef Brian Kaywork's going to be on the show. And Chef Brian Kaywork is a instructor at my alma mater of CIA. And so many other friends of our show go there. And man, it's a really great conversation, wasn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. Liedenstein, he's also he's writing all the menus and putting out all the beautiful food at night at the American Bounty restaurant at the college as well.
Yeah, which is really cool. And he's a forager, and he's all into local sustainability. Really, really good dude. I think we made a new friend here on the show, as I'm hoping.
Great brother. Well, he's a good brother. He's a good brother of Dan's already. Him and Dan graduated together, who brought him into the fold. Into the Plum Love Foods fold.
Yeah, but I'm excited about it because it's almost like a throwback for me to have the opportunity. And, you know, I think we're going to try to build a relationship with CIA through that. So
I remember. You guys started talking like some weird language I didn't even understand.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you stopped it
because it would have kept going. Away.
Well, check it out, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a breather here. We're going to grab a cocktail. We're going to sit back. I'm going to open a window because it's hot as shit in here. And then we're going to recap some of the fantastic guests and fun shows we've had here on Plum Love Foods for 2019. Dave's sitting in with us, me and Jeffy. Should be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it. I love these kind of shows, and we've got some fun stories for you guys, so I can't wait for you to hear. If you guys stay right there, you're checking out Plum Love Foods. We'll be right back. Hang tight, guys.
Woo!
Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com.
Hi, I'm Chef Jeff Perazzi, co-host of the exciting and popular podcast Plum Love Foods Live. But I'm not here today to talk to you about our amazing podcast that airs live every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. No, I'm here today to talk about a problem affecting 1 in 200 males in America. At first, what I'm going to share with you will seem like a small problem, but I assure you that if you're packing less than 3 and have to sit when you pee, you know it can be the root to many of life's problems. That's right, I'm talking about micros. This condition has always been embarrassing for all parties involved. But brothers, keep your heads raised high, because awareness is the key to acceptance, which leads me to announce a new movement. MAMPT. Micros are men too. I will be the first to pledge $10 American to bring awareness to the fact that microgenitalia exists and should not have to hide. Not anymore. I urge you all to make a tiny donation as well. Every little bit matters. Every little bit helps as we inch closer and closer, millimeter by millimeter, to our modest goal. So I say, stand tall with your Napoleon. And remember, Little Richard made a deep and meaningful impact with his listeners. MAMPT. Micros are men too. So stand up, stand proud, and know I stand with you.
This is Yair Lenshner, Celebrity Kosher Advisor, and I approve this message.
Meanwhile, back on the show.
Oh yeah, that's right. 2020, first episode of the year. Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, and of course Chef Dave sitting in this weekend. This week, not this weekend. Weekend's coming up though. That's for damn sure. Man, 2020, man. I'm still letting that sink in a little bit. Dave, I mean, it's got... Is that number... I mean, I don't know, because you're a little bit younger than us. Does that mean anything to you, or is it just another year?
Yeah, man. I don't really trip on that whole, like, linear time thing. So, nah, it's just another day. Another year.
What did you just say, fucking hippie?
Did you say linear year thing?
Linear time thing, man. It's all fucked. I don't know. It's just, it's another day. Another day.
Shut up, dummy.
What?
Let it go. Listen, Dave's on a different wavelength, Jeffy. It's okay.
It's cool, man. Earth is flat.
No, it's not.
All right, cool. As long as you're not going to say it is, I'm baiting you there, but I'm glad
you
know.
I just don't, like, I mean, I don't know.
You don't like watches and stuff. You, like, come to wake whenever you want to and shit.
Dave's like, fuck calendars. I want Roman numerals.
It's a time thing. Bro, what does time even mean, man?
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you what it does mean. It means go ahead, Jeffy. I'm sorry.
No, please. I'm not going to be nice.
Oh, I love to hear it. Do it.
Well, 2019 was a fantastic year here on this program, man, and we had a lot of fun. I mean, literally, we had an episode, brand new content every single week, and we had 52 episodes this past year, which was pretty, pretty fun, man. I was digging it, and I was excited that we had the chance to do that, man. I think it's fun, and I think that doing this program is, you know, I mean, no matter what, we make sure we get content out there, don't we? I mean, that's what I think is pretty cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
definitely. Dude, so much fun to do this show. It's like I look forward to it every Thursday, and I look forward to all the great guests we've had on. Like, yeah. I mean, we've had really, really funny and interesting and weird.
We definitely got into the weird stuff this year a little bit, didn't we?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Well, we started this year off season 6 is what started. It was actually January 1st, I think, is when Thursday fell last year. And episode 29 of season 6, we had Good Brother from Lucky Hair Brewing on. That was a fun episode, man. I always love talking beer.
Absolutely. It's my good brother, literally.
Yeah, literally.
Ian, yeah, absolutely.
What's going on with those guys now, man? Are they doing well?
Yeah, they're growing leaps and bounds. They just started canning their beer, getting it out in all the local places in Ithaca and the surrounding area, the surrounding Finger Lakes area. They just opened up a much larger brewery, kept their original brewery. They have another tasting room now in downtown Ithaca. I mean, they're just killing it. And, you know, they also, I have a new nephew. So shout out to my sister Ian and him and the whole Lucky Hair family because they're killing it.
Great beers. And really, I love that episode. It was really fun to kick that off. And I could feel the show going a different direction about then, which was pretty cool. And
yeah, we had just drank a bunch of their beers, too, if you remember, because they had given it because we had done Santa Q right before that.
Yeah, with the U.S. Navy. I was going to talk about that, too, but that technically falls into the year before. That was December 28th, 2018 that we had done that.
Yep.
But that was a fun event, too. But yeah, you're right, man. I mean, their stuff was delicious. We still have their kegs, which are actually now in our possession, so that's a good thing, right?
Finally.
I do have them. They're in my garage. We have them. So
but it's like working with the government. You know, you never know when you're going to get paid your stuff back.
So much paperwork to shuffle.
Yeah, well, we got it. And so they're back. And Dave, you had some of that beer, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I was drinking it in the walk-in in between, like,
that's right.
Checklists.
That's where Daddy kept it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Lucky Hair Brewing. They were great, man. I'd love to do something with them one of these days. Make a trip up to Ithaca.
He wants to make Good Brother beer. He wants us to come up. He wants to make the Good Brother beer. We want to can it. We want to do something really awesome. And we definitely want to do a big chef throwdown up there at the new brewery.
We're so dumb. We should have had that done for Mohegan this year.
Yeah. Thing is, he's a New York State brewery. You know, he's not a Connecticut brewery.
No,
so
we could have gone and done it and brought a, you give him some money and brought a bunch of it with us.
Yeah, we have to give it away, I think.
That's fine.
Yeah, we could put it in a t-shirt cannon.
No, Dave, that would hurt people.
Not if you shoot it, like, up and then it arches.
Shoot beers out of a t-shirt cannon.
It'll be all right. Just don't turn it up as high.
Sure, at the Dark Carnival, your clown makeup on.
Oh, shit.
Well, Lucky Hair Brewing, man, we love those guys. Can't wait to get up there and maybe try to do something with them. You know, one of my favorite episodes we had done, too, was right after that episode. I'm not sure if it was Dave, you're with me, or if Jeff, you're with me. I can't remember, but we had Traveler on from Salmon and Sable. Traveler is a fisherman in Alaska, and he's going to come back on the show again here real soon, but he's up there fishing for like half the year in like some weird little shack that he lives off of a tiny generator, and the stories he was telling was just absolutely amazing.
That was crazy. Actually, February is when order season, or like he starts taking orders again, right? For the next season coming up in July.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Jeff, we ordered some of his fish, didn't we?
Absolutely. It's delicious. I just finished off the cod, the sable that he had sent.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And it was all absolutely fantastic. Salmon was great. Even frozen, I was a little apprehensive of getting frozen fish.
Yeah, me too.
But I think they IQF it immediately, so it's frozen in its like freshest state, which is really helps it out. And I mean, obviously, I'm not letting it hang around in the freezer for too long.
Yeah, it doesn't travel far too. Like he catches it and then it's done. And, it doesn't like then he ships it here, then he ships it here. I mean, he just it goes, right to you.
Yeah, he explained like right when he catches it, it's processed and like frozen that day. So it's like and he flash freezes too, so it does it quicker. I think is how he was explaining it on the show.
Well, for $5,000, you can go fishing with him up there. Remember, he was saying that for $5,000, anyone can come fishing with me.
I'm trying to figure that out. I know it's in July, though, so like there'd have to be another season,
yeah,
right?
There's no chance we can go in July. That's not going to happen.
Right?
Can't spend $5,000 to take a week off in July.
Just a week? Dude, it would be like 3 weeks to actually make it happen.
Well, it'd be really fun to go do, but he's great. I know he actually got some orders from the show, too, he had said, so that's even better, man. I love that we have guests on here, and we're not trying to sell anybody's product, but if it's good, we'll tell you it's good. And he had given us some salmon for our Santa Q event as well, so it's kind of where we made friends with him, and he was introduced to us by our good friend Grill Mama. So big shout-out to Traveler from Salmon and Sable, man. That was a fun episode. It's just great when you hear stories from guys like that who are... I mean, it's a different world they live in, Dave. It's not the same world that we're in.
Oh, dude, definitely. Like, that's why I would seriously consider paying the $5,000 just to experience that shit.
He'd probably do it for you for $3,000.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Save your $5,000. Give him a follow on Instagram at Salmon and Sable. It's a pretty interesting follow. He's a pretty amazing
no doubt
stuff.
About it. What a great guy, man. I love that one because I love hearing those stories, man. Those things are so fun. One of the funnest events of the season is coming up here very soon as well. It's the Sun Food and Wine Festival. It's one of the biggest food and wine festivals on the East Coast. I mean, tons and tons of people, thousands of people, and all kinds of great chefs. And we're fortunate that we get to take part in it in the past couple years, and we'll be a part of it this year as well. One of the most iconic skills that we didn't even know existed, we learned about at Mohegan Sun last year, and that was Jeffy's ability to announce people as like a stripper going on stage. Dave, do you remember this?
I do remember it. I remember it actually broke the show.
It did. It shut down the show.
We had some
great stuff going on. It was awesome. Jeffy was having a great time and starts interviewing the girl who brought in the room service food into the suite. It was a pretty ridiculous episode. We had a great crew up there too, which made it a lot of fun. We missed a dinner that night in order to do the podcast. You guys remember?
Yeah.
But
I absolutely remember. That was a great podcast. It was a lot of fun until I blew it up with Homewrecking Ryan.
Homewrecking Ryan,
who we will not disclose his real name. All you know is it's Homewrecking Ryan.
Oh, guy with two first names. You know.
Oh, that was so funny. And then remember you kicked Harry Thomas out. That was hysterical.
He was being a dick.
Well, bless that.
You guys have like the whitest name. Oh, I was like, oh, come on.
You guys all wore the same hat. That was so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was being a dick. He's like, oh, yeah, Dan, Jeff, Dave. Those are like the three most generic white names ever. And I was like, fuck you, Harry.
He's
like, are you guys cousins? I'm like, why? What the fuck's going on here?
Oh,
this
my God.
It's not nice.
He was saying, fucking Harry, man. He's being a dick.
It was terrible. That's when Jeffy told him he judges his friend. Well, I'm not going to make that joke. That's a terrible joke. I take it back. I'm not saying that publicly. That's an after show joke.
After show.
But yeah, what a great event, man. I love that event. And Dave, if you remember the first year that we were there, we actually sat outside one of the venues and did the show and had people come by. That was fun too.
I do remember. I remember like three quarters of the show, and then the Fisher's Island like lemonade kicked in, and I was done.
That's true. We were drinking Fisher's. Our friend Chaney came by from Fisher's Island Lemonade and was handing those things out. And Fisher's Island Lemonade basically is like a lemonade cocktail, and each can is two drinks. Well, Dave is drinking them like Dasani bottled water. He's just pounding them. Next thing you know, there's like a 12-pack empty of Fisher's Island Lemonade beside Dave, and I'm talking to him. He's going, huh? What?
Dude. I just remember being like really sweaty halfway through the show.
And I was like, Dave, you know how many of those you had? You're like, three, four, that many. And you pointed, and there's like this stack of cans set up like a Jenga game next to
a little
to you.
Fucking pyramid.
And I was like, Dave, each one of those is two drinks. You were like, that's why I'm so fucked up.
Well, because I thought, you know, it was like it tastes good. So I was like, these are really weak in alcohol. There's no way that these are going to be strong. So I was like, it's refreshing. I'm just going to keep drinking it. And then you guys tell me later.
Yeah, they're like 40% alcohol.
They're still pretty good. Yeah.
They are pretty good. But that was fun, man. I got to talk to a lot of great people. I'm hoping to do something similar to that this year at Mohegan, what I'd like to do.
Nice.
I mean, that would be fun, Jeff, if we could make it like an official gimmick.
Can you get a t-shirt gun for it?
No, Dave, I don't have a t-shirt gun.
I know where they keep them in Mohegan.
Actually, you do have the, you know, you do have the inside scoop there, huh?
Yeah, I can just go down to the stadium. They have one that's like a Gatling gun. It has 12 like chambers on it.
That would be sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that. What was your favorite part of those shows, Jeff?
His favorite part of the Mohegan shows?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was tagging something. The favorite part of the Mohegan show, obviously, was hawking fried sliders to the masses and watching people like come back for seconds and thirds and just having a blast. Meeting all the awesome chefs backstage, hanging out with Tammy. Shout out to Tammy, Chef Tammy of Mohegan. She's fucking awesome, and she runs a tight kitchen. It was really cool to see that shit go down. It was huge and very impressive. So, I mean, I don't know, the whole weekend, dude. I don't know, hanging out with you, you know, having you scream my name across Mohegan Sun all night.
I did that.
Yeah.
A lot.
Every bar I was in, I hear, Jeffy!
Well, I'm kind of shy, so you know.
I know, you were totally shy. Amber was like, well, at least we know where we are.
But yeah, looking forward to it, man. Those shows are coming up again, man. I love those. That's one of my favorite events of the year, and I can't wait to do something fun in it this year. So it'll be in 20 days or something. I don't know what day it is.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude. It's, I think it's the 23rd or 24th, something like that. 24th, 25th, 26th, something like that.
Yeah, it's coming up, man. It's coming up quick.
Yeah.
Kind of makes the month of January fun, you know?
Why is everything going so fast already?
It's called getting old, Dave. That's what happens.
No. No, it's not. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, everything moves faster when you're older, buddy.
I'm not even mid-30s yet.
What?
Yeah, but you're from Detroit, so that's like 80.
Yeah, you definitely. I mean, people don't live past about 41 there, right?
Whoa. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. He's like, I don't know the numbers.
Well, you know, and then one of the other shows that I thought was kind of fun and we had a great time with, we had a college professor on the program on season 7, episode 7. We had Dr. Todd Osier come on the show from Fairfield University.
Oh, yeah, Todd. Yeah.
And, yeah, I tell you what, it was going well. It was a good conversation. Jeffy was, you know, doing what Jeffy does. And kind of after the show, Todd just told me, he's like, yeah, I don't think I'll want to do that ever again. And I was like, really? Why not? And he was like, I don't know, just feels like it was a very stoner thing going on there. Not here, but on the other side with your partner there. And I was like, I don't know, he's probably smoking, whatever, he's probably smoking weed, it's cool. He was like, I'm really against that. I was like, what? He was like, I'm really against that. And I was like, it's 2019, is anybody really against that? Like, okay.
Well, yeah, there's people super against it for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know. He has a beautiful beard. Totally. Shout out to Todd with his beautiful beard. He's a gorgeous man. And I'm sad he thought I was too high to hang out with.
Well, I like Todd a lot. He's my neighbor. He's a really nice guy. Like, I like him. He's a really, really highly intelligent person. And, I mean, he was over here with his iPad, like, working up schematics and showing things. It was cool. But, just went a different route for him, I guess. Wasn't his thing.
Not for everybody.
I'll be honest, I got so high because he was talking about stuff that was so above my pay grade I couldn't talk until I got so high that I just interjected some shit that I'm not sure if it made sense.
I think it was...
That might have been what I've actually, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Todd, that was me. That was me being uncomfortable. You have a beautiful beard.
Well, it was a fun show. I was hoping to finally get, like, a doctor on the program that we could make, like, a rate... Like our regular guest, this doctor.
You know? Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say something way off. Yeah, no. Scared the shit out of me, actually.
That hiccup. Oh. That fucking hiccup.
That hiccup almost gave me a heart attack.
Yeah, I apologize for that. So, you know, it seems like, I don't know, I feel like we go in these waves on the show where, you know, we kind of are touching on some cool stuff, then we kind of get back to food and touch on something a little bit different, then get back to food. Then we're at a festival and, you know... As we kept going, we this year was no different on the podcast because we had an opportunity to go to Mexico, Jeffy. Remember the Mexico trip?
Yeah, of course I remember the Mexico trip.
Mexico was a
it was a magical experience, man. Going down to Mexico together, Puerto Vallarta, to the beautiful Riviera Nayarit.
Yeah. What was more fun for you, the trip or coming home?
Well, I mean, coming home was great because I closed on my house the day we actually got home.
You're leaving a big part of it out.
Yep. I don't want to, you know, I just don't, you know how I am, man. I don't like to think about, you know, I don't like to think about the negative things for too long. It's like, why waste time?
You're right. You're absolutely right. I think of it, to me, it's funny. The whole thing was funny. And
it was funny in hindsight only because we both had like mini prima donna meltdowns. Where like you couldn't talk to me for about an hour. I just was like puffing and breathing heavy, and like Plum would make a joke and I'd be like, I don't see what's so fucking funny, bro. And I was like lose my mind a little bit and like stomp away again, and he was like, Jeffy, you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay. I'm in fucking Chicago.
At least it's not Mexico.
You know, we're not there anymore. It's all good.
Hey, look, but your boy hooked you up, man. I gave you the one standby seat that happened early the next morning. I said, Jeffy, you take it.
Dude, that was actually super solid. The fucked up part of that story is how you got home before me. Somehow. I don't know what happened. Like, you were like, he almost like he had inside information. Like, he was like,
no, that's not true.
He was like, when's this one get in? Oh, shit. Jeffy, take this one, bro. And I was like, cool. And then he's like texting me like, still not on the plane. It's like an hour into my flight. He's like, still not on my plane. And I'm like, oh, dude, I'm feeling terrible for him. Then I'm like on the train to get my car, getting my car. And then I'm in traffic trying to get back to Long Island. And this motherfucker calls me like, hey, I just got home. And I was like, what? I was like, I didn't even know you got on a plane. He's like, oh, yeah. No, I text you. And I was like looking at my thing. I'm like, I had mixed the text. I was like dumbfounded. I didn't know how he did it. He's like, oh, yeah. Well, then I caught a car. I wasn't going to, you know, come on.
Oh, that's right. Because what ended up happening was one of our flights got canceled on the way home from Mexico. We left that part out for people who aren't listening to this. One of our flights got canceled because of a storm that was really random in April that shut down airports on the East Coast. And so our flight from Chicago, we were flying from Puerto Vallarta to Chicago, and then from Chicago to Westchester.
Yep.
We got to our Chicago flight was fine, but getting from Chicago to Westchester was canceled, and no one told us till we got to the airport to go home. And it was a real, I mean, listen, it's, I mean, we're in Puerto Vallarta, trust me, they don't give a shit about anything that we had to say.
Oh, that was the best. Sorry, your flight was canceled. You have to be here, I guess. And we were like, no. And they were like, we're sorry. And we're like, no.
That's like, not going to work.
We just like pressed in real hard, and they were like, okay, well, we could get you to Chicago. We're like, closer? Anywhere closer? They were like, Chicago? We're like, fuck it, Chicago. We'll go to Chicago. We can get a car like John Candy and Steve Martin, right? Is that who it was?
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Yeah. Those aren't pillows.
We did everything, Jeff. Remember, we looked at plane tickets, we looked at train tickets, and then the best part was I ended up getting stuck with that bill for the hotel rooms that night and everything. Like they didn't.
We had casserole, the Chicago style casserole.
We did,
with the butter crust. It was crunchy. And somewhere between a pie and a casserole.
And we watched Undercover Boss.
Oh,
yep.
Did watch Undercover Boss. I forgot. And that was like, you know, what was in the hotel? It was like a D&D tournament or something. Or like,
that's what's up. I would have gone and hung out with all those nerds.
Well, look. The fun part was we got to meet, love of my life, Penny DeVitti, on that trip. And Penny was the one who asked me to go, and we got to go on the trip. And so many great chefs. Our good sister Michelle was with us. And, I mean, we met our good friend David Fuerte. And by the way, congratulations, Chef David Fuerte, on his new baby. New baby coming. His wife's pregnant. Woo! So congratulations.
That's awesome.
To him.
Also, Jamaica.
Oh, yeah.
Great trip. All of our Mexican brothers in the kitchen there that helped out, that were so awesome, that their names slip me right now.
Really, really good people down there. But we had a great time. We really had a great time. We worked our asses off, though. We definitely worked harder than everybody else.
Yes. Well, we did. I don't know if we worked harder or we just are bigger and we sweat more, so we looked like we were working harder.
No, Jeff, we worked harder.
I'm going to go with the second one.
Fuck you, Dave. We built a smoker, Jeff. They didn't have a smoker. Remember, we built it, and I was like,
yeah,
you guys have any
wood? Yeah,
because
we're the idiots who go to Mexico, and we're like, we need to smoke a pork loin. Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Oh, damn it, the Wi-Fi. Fumar, puerto, si, way, me, amigo. No? Hey. Yeah, see? Jeffy, you try. I'm like,
you try.
We want to smoke the pork loin. Oh. Like,
Jeffy, just yelling at them doesn't help. They're not deaf.
He's like, Jeff, you can't just say Spanish words and speak with a Spanish inflection. I'm like, no, I think it's working.
No, I think it's working. But, dish was banging, though.
It was banging, dude. No, listen, the food was delicious. It was crazy. I'm just saying, like, we work hard, you know.
I mean, I don't think anybody else like had to build a smoker, and like we built every component to our dish, like you and I, from the bottom up. There was no like, oh, we'll use
these. If we're going again, I'm going right over to Home Depot and buying two Husky containers with wheels that snap together. I'm gonna fill them with kitchen equipment and delis, and we're gonna work out of the hotel room.
That's a smart idea. That's what we should have done.
Dude, we're going to hang out and we're going to have a hibachi. I'll bring a hibachi if we have to. You want to smoke something, don't worry, homie. We'll do it on the deck.
On the shared deck.
There. We're going to be like, what are those gringos doing? We're going to be like, drinking beer, homes. What up?
You get like little like gas-powered like yakitori fucking grills and shit too.
I mean, I'm not going to town trying to figure that out, David. Maybe if your Spanish skills are up to par, we could bring you an interpreter.
That'd be helpful.
All right. I am learning Spanish.
Good.
I know you are.
Well, and of course, too, one of my favorite things, Jeff, was we would always get a great picture of the sunset because the sunsets were absolutely stunningly gorgeous out there. And one of my favorite times was we had just finished doing the dinner and people were having a course and you and I had walked outside to have a beer together. Just overlooking the sunset, you know, our legs were dangling off the retaining wall by the beach, and we were kind of like, yeah, this is kind of fucking crazy, man. And we were really kind of getting into you just we were enjoying the moment of what we were doing, you know. And I thought that was pretty cool, man. I love having that experience. It was awesome.
Yeah, when we first ran into the ocean and just went and jumped in the water, like when we first got there, that was really fun.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, the whole trip, dude. Honestly, I had a really great time. I'm really hoping we get to go again and we could bring family, you know, because it would be a lot of fun to bring the kids. I think our kids would really love it to be in those pools and hanging out all day. It was a great resort. It was a beautiful resort.
I don't know. Do we want family to come to that trip?
I mean, my family likes to turn up, so yeah.
All right. Well, I hope it happens. We'll see, man. The rumor is they're not doing it anymore, but we'll see. I'd love to talk to Penny again.
You know what I think we should do? Dave, get on your Spanish game. Let's reach out to the villain, Riviera Navarrete. We heard you're looking for some chefs to run a
festival out here. Let's make it happen.
We have a an award-winning chef-driven podcast that we're willing to bring down there and really do some awesome stuff. We can cross-cultural. The whole experience will be amazing. It'll for your guests and for our listeners. Win-win.
Yeah, I love it.
See.
I love it. And just, you know.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
You know, one of my favorite episodes after that was, of course, shortly after that, we hit episode 200 on this podcast. And we had a lot of great messages from people, and all the good brothers were around, and we were just kind of playing messages and talking about people. And, I mean, that was one of my favorite podcasts I've ever done.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I love the round tables in general. I love when we all sit around and just talk shit, and especially when all the good brothers come on.
Dude, those were some of my favorite shows this summer was, like, the Chef's House shows in the Hamptons.
Oh, yeah, well.
It was like the Chef's House fucking potluck smorgasbord.
Because whenever Jeff comes over, he's going to bring, like, I brought a cheese board. You guys want a cheese board?
No, Rob had also brought empanadas. Everyone brought a little something. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
And Jeff shows up.
I brought a pizza.
And Jeff shows up. I brought a cheese board and a centerpiece. You guys interested?
We could put that up. He did bring a cheese board. I remember. You were like up in the Adirondacks or some shit. You're like, I brought Dave a chair and everybody else cheese. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I brought I always bring party supplies, man. Yeah. I roll thick.
But yeah, that was one of my favorites, man, with people just kind of giving the congratulation messages. We had a lot of great people giving those, and 200 episodes, that was a pretty big celebration for us. That was great, you know, and we're well over that now, but
it's huge.
We're pushing the 300
mark. We love to talk and listen to ourselves talk later.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I kind of like listen to myself talk.
Well, I'd be remiss, gentlemen, if I didn't bring up this year meeting our new friend Patty Griffin, who
was that this year?
Yeah, that was this year.
I feel like we've known her forever.
Well, that's what mediums, that's how they make you feel.
Ooh.
But meeting she's Patty like, and having been a regular on the show and doing some of the crazy stuff she's done, like having some of the vibes from Dave that we got on the live episode, which was pretty cool. And then, I mean, we went to a show of hers and she read Dan live on the show. That was pretty cool. I don't know, man. I love that sort of stuff.
I need to go see this. I need her to read me so bad.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I want to be read.
Yeah, but you know,
I want my palms read. I want everything read.
I'm not sure if she's a palm reader, brother.
Yeah, that's different, I think. I don't think mediums read palms.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty fucking sure, man. I'm just saying.
Why do you gotta curse at me, Dave? Why do you get so street like that, man? Is that the Detroit coming out?
I don't know. This is that tone thing Plum's talking about. I'm not even mad.
So do you talk to your girl or your mom?
No.
Fuck, Mom, I just want a Pepsi!
Just one Pepsi.
No. I respect women.
Okay, so women you don't yell at.
This
but
is
your
what
friend.
Happens if I'm not here to drive the bus. You guys drove this motherfucker into the ocean.
No, he didn't.
Someone's got to steer.
What?
What?
Steer what? We were arguing about a real thing.
Yeah.
Look, I'm trying to talk about Patty Griffin here a little bit. And I want to, yeah, I mean, listen, it was great. We met her this year. She was great to talk to. She became friend of the show. How many fucking chef podcasts have a medium be a part of the program?
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
I don't know. Probably not. Maybe Emerald? Do you think maybe Emerald?
Maybe Emerald? Really,
like when he was really popular, you know, because he had like a band. He always had like people. I mean, it was – what a show, right? I mean, that was like Arsenio.
You know what? It kind of was, honestly. He always had guests on.
I love that part of it.
Hero. Shout out, Emerald, man. If you want to come on the show, just let me know. Jeff at Plum Love Foods Live. Plumlovefoods.com. I would love to have you on. I don't know if you're listening right now. If anybody knows Emerald, let him know that we'd love to have him on.
Man, I'll tell you what. Listen. I want to continue just with Patty for a second. Because seriously, like, having a medium be on the program whenever we want. We can call right now if we want. Dan, you here?
Yo, what up?
What up, buddy? You were there for that reading, man, and shit seemed a little stupid at first, but then it started getting kind of deep, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. It definitely did. It started off kind of funny, like, oh, yeah, let's see where this goes, and it took that turn, and you kind of felt it coming, and then it came hard, and all this shit, this is nuts.
It got crazy.
Yeah, she was hitting it from all angles. Yeah, it was wild.
I think she's definitely better at the one-on-one readings, though, you know, when she can see you, or she can read all the things the carnies teach you to read.
Yes. Yeah.
That didn't sound nice.
Was hitting that night.
Yo. But it was good times, man. Look, that's why I think it's cool. It's just fun, this group of friends that this program has made, man. I mean, fuck, we got a dude who's a ghost hunter. Not only is he a ghost hunter, this dude is like one of the best, like, world-renowned cryptozoologists on the planet. He's been on the show twice now. David Weatherly from Eerie Lights. Jeffy, this dude was the man. Like, he became a good brother the last time he was on talking about Christmas monsters.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. That shit. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Dave. Please.
I got excited about that.
I love it when you cut me off.
Well, it was good, because this guy is, like, so...
Jeez, you know.
Well, it was just it was crickets again, you know.
Okay, terrific.
Listen,
I was trying to let him go.
Having David be a part of the program, he reached out to us, Jeffy. He wanted to be back on the show, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we had talked about it on the air. He like had so much more to say, and he was just like, he loved being on the show. We had a blast with us. We had a blast with him. We had a great rapport with him. And then the second time he came on, I thought was like the Dave was about to say. I think it was really great, and he was just hitting some really awesome shit, and just he was killing it. He was really funny. I was having a ton of problems, actually. Dave jumped in for me that night.
Well, and he came on and just was telling some great stories. Dan, you heard that episode, right?
Yeah, I loved it. I wish I could have been a part of it. I love that shit. Those monsters and all that gremlin shit. Like, I'm all about it. Those stories are always amazing because they always stem from some truth. So it's trying to find that truth in the story that's very fascinating.
Well, and of course, we'd be remiss. I mean, this is when the show took a weird turn. We started having the medium and having David Weatherly from Eerie Lights on. And next thing you know, holy shit, we're interviewing Tony Spira from the fucking Annabelle doll. Like, what? How did that even happen?
Dude, I love the fact that we had, like, just, like, 6 weeks of just weird and creepy shit going on in October.
Yeah.
I think those were like my favorite shows.
Really? You like that? You like that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, dude, I'm all about that. The occult and all kinds of offset stuff.
You know, we could start a fun monthly podcast series called Chefs Versus. And it's a group of chefs, and we talk to people who do stuff like this or who do like things that are totally out of our wheelhouse.
That's fun. I love that. Those were not my favorite episodes, to be clear, though. They freaked me the fuck out. Like, there was a lot of shit going on in those episodes, though. Honestly, Mark Vecchia or Vecchito's episode fucked me up almost as bad as Tony Spira. And they were both equally messed up. But, I mean, the whole, like, ghost punching people in the back and lifting up the corners of the table, and then your kids hearing bells ring. It's like, it's a little too close to home, and it's a little too much stuff going on.
That was Daniel Packard, right? Is that the same?
Yeah, the Daniel Packard.
Okay. Yeah.
Haunted as shit, that place.
Oh, man. Yeah, go there, guys. Go hang out. Have a sandwich. Get slapped in the back by a weird little monster.
Dan would go. He'd be it.
You know, I went to go see Tony Spira live right after you guys did the show.
Did you get a chance to talk to him or no?
It was amazing.
Psycho.
No, it was crazy. You got Mac. He left. He dubbed out. What was crazy was he bought the Annabelle doll. It was like his gift. He bought the Annabelle doll from the movie, not the real doll. But what was creepy was he brought it up to the front, showed everybody the doll, and then they pushed it to the back for the rest of his conversation. So while he's talking in the back in a dim light, with just enough light where you could see the damn doll's eyes, it's just staring at everybody. And everybody was like freaked the fuck out by it. It was intense. Like he set the tone. He brought the thing out. Everybody was like, oh! And he goes and sits it back there. And all of a sudden, everybody was like, oh, I don't know if I still want to be here. It's crazy.
But it wasn't the real one.
No, it was the one from the movie, the other creepy one. No, it wasn't the real one. It'd have been better if it was the real one. But I guess they gave it to him. It was like what they got
right
for a movie or some shit.
So dude, we got that. Chef's Versus might be a great podcast.
That'd be awesome.
I love that idea.
Yeah,
we can start it as a series on here and see how it does and then go from there.
That's true. That's not a bad idea. But a lot of fun, man. Great year. A lot of great guests also here in recent weeks, which I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up and talk about. I mean, Luke Vincentini on last week. That was a great show. Street Leaves Johnny. That was a fun one having him on, too. I mean, always love talking to Matt Joswiak. He's such a good guy. Scott Johnson, Dom Tesorio, you know, Chef Melissa Humphreys. I mean, so many great freaking guests on this podcast. Man, 2020 is going to be awesome.
Yeah, we had so many amazing guests. We did so many cool things. Food has really taken us all over the place this year, and I'm really excited for the future years to come, gentlemen. It's pretty amazing. You guys are good brothers to have on each other's side to be part of.
Good brothers for life, and it's going to start next week, my friends, and we're going to have a fantastic episode with our good brother from the Culinary Institute of America that, of course, Dan set us up with. Which, Dan, that was such a great conversation, wasn't it? I mean, I thought that talking to Brian Kaywerk we said, of course, it's a recorded convo, that's the only time he could do it. But what a great conversation that was. And what a guy. I mean, I think we made a friend there.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, Brian's a cool-ass dude. Like, always been cool, down-to-earth, chill. I kind of always knew he'd be an instructor. It didn't really surprise me because that's just kind of how he held himself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was awesome and to have that kind of reaction. And the conversation kind of brought up stuff of, you know, the past and school, things you didn't think about in a while.
Yeah.
That was really fun to talk about.
Well, can't wait to play that for you guys next week, man. We're excited about it. So 2020 is going to be a lot of fun on this program, man. We thank you guys so much for all the support. It means the world to us. That's why we continue to do this program every Thursday for free. Bringing you this to your ears, to your phones, taking up that last little bit of memory. That's what I like to say. Jeffy, I want to end this recap episode. A couple of you got a news story or something we could talk about?
Yeah, you know, I think we should talk about wrap up the news this year. Let's talk about what all the food bloggers and people are calling the biggest food trends of last year, and maybe a couple of the ones that are going to be coming up. And maybe we can I can get your opinions about that.
Now,
I don't know.
Does that count as a news story, Jeffy?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's the news.
I think it does, right?
It's like it's the news. It's like news. We're having like a news roundtable discussion. Okay. It's kind of like crossfire.
I like that. Well,
chef fire.
If we're having a crossfire roundtable, there's two things we need to do. Number one, we got to get Rob on the phone. With us.
Absolutely, Chef Rob. I love this brother.
We got to get Chef Rob with us. Hopefully, he'll be able to jump on the call with us here in a second. I'm gonna try to get him on the horn right now to join us. Because listen, we got to have all the good brothers on, right?
Yep, all the good brothers.
And then Jeffy, if it counts as a news story, that means I have to play this.
The news that matters to you. It's the news with Jeffy. Go fuck yourself.
Wow, that's really aggressive there, huh?
Pretty aggressive.
All right, Jeffy, you got some news. Hey, Robbie.
What's happening, guys?
Living the dream, brother. We got to have you on here to end the program out on some... this is the wrong music. To end the show on some fashion trends and food.
Absolutely.
So
what's with all the creepy music? Is that at all?
I know that last shit was dramatic as fuck, and now it's like somebody's about to get stabbed.
All right, we'll get to this. We'll just go with the regular background music then. All right, Jeffy, what are some food trends? Tell us about them.
Okay, well, some of the food trends, some of the biggest food trends they're saying that we saw in the last...
I don't like that one.
Yeah, that's a great one. In the last decade, one that stuck out to me that I thought was pretty funny was... excuse me.
That's not a good Instapot food trend either.
Was the introduction of the Instapot in this last decade.
Okay.
And how everyone now is like crazy for perfectly cooking rice and ribs in a fraction of the time.
Well, Rob, you just joined us here. Instapot, what do you think? I kind of dig it.
I love it. It's your slow cooker on steroids.
Wow. I mean, that sounds like a well-thought-out answer there, Rob.
Okay.
Slow cooker on steroids.
Wow.
Damn.
Dave, what do you think?
Fast slow cooker.
I mean, I've never used one, but I like the idea of it.
I just got one for Christmas too, which is pretty cool.
You've never heard Sting's music, but you like the fact that he's making it?
No, I don't like the fact that he's making music at all.
Dan, Instapots. Any thoughts on him?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I like it. I think it's taken away from actually cooking. It's just like, you know, you throw shit in there and you move on, but whatever.
You can make yogurt. Fuck it.
I say kick that shit across the field and just get a slow cooker. Pressure cooker.
I think you should use one before you make that judgment, Dan. I think it's a great tool.
All right, I'll take yours then.
Who's choking a cat? Thanks. What does that sound? Who's killing
the
cat?
What's going on back there?
That sounds like someone's really excited.
We got that Annabelle door
again. Was that you, Rob?
That was me. I'm running away from Annabelle. there's like a Chucky doll chasing me around the house.
Wow, that's messed up to think about. All right, Jeff, what do you got for us next?
All right. Well, I think the next thing we should talk about is the fact that people went from low carb to high fats in this last decade.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the decade before this, it was always low, low carb. Low carb. Everything's got to be low carb, low fat. Low carb, low fat. That's what we all heard. And now this big switch has been low carb, high fat. Which, since the Atkins diet, which started in the early 2000s, going all the way through to this paleo diet and, you know, keto and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah, keto. I don't know I feel like every few years there's a new diet plan we're all supposed to follow. I mean, Dan, besides me, you're the most in shape out of the group. What do you think about these diets?
I think all diets are trends. I think people just need to eat proportionally and eat properly, and they'd be fine. I think that fat did get a bad rap for a lot of years, and now it's kind of come to light that it's not as bad as people think it is. But also, overindulging in fat is not the smartest thing to do either. So it's a fine line. I think if everybody, you know, eats proportionally, eats properly, eats a balanced diet, it's better than all the fucking diets.
What about avocados?
Avocados are delicious. That's good.
Yeah, but you cook things on some of these trends, right? At the pantry, like you'll cook like for like the Whole 30. You sent me that really delicious dish from the Whole 30. I can't remember what it was. It was like a pork pozole or something like that with tomatillos. It was banging.
Yeah, the tomatillos. That sounds awesome. Pork, it was delicious. Braised pork, tomatillos. But it's because Whole 30 is actually probably the most balanced of all of them. They suggest not eating like rice. But want you to eat potatoes. They want you to eat vegetables and whole foods as opposed to eating just fucking processed bullshit. Like, vegans are like, oh, we're vegans, but then they're making a processed patty that's kind of more made in a factory than made in a farm. So it's like, where are you losing yourself at?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Robbie, what about you on these diets? I mean, we work with a lot of private clients who sometimes need weird dietary restrictions. You got any of those?
That's the bane of my existence. Like fucking this week I signed up for this person and just go to their website and that's what I want to eat. The biggest one this year was the F Factor. It was all like high fiber. So like instead of breadcrumbs, you were using like fucking fiber powder, like mixing it in with like crushed fiber pretzels as breading and stuff. I was like, this is so fucking disgusting, but if you want me to make this, no problem.
Damn, that sounds awful, so. Man.
I mean, I didn't see it. But look, if the client wants you to make something, you make it. You make it as delicious as you can within their with the parameters, and you go with it.
Amen. What's it called again?
F Factor.
F Factor? Okay.
Yeah, like the fuck this factor.
I'm going to look it up. I want to see what this is. I've never heard of it, so it's always fascinating to me. These diets fascinate the hell out of me.
I actually think that it could work. Like, there's probably some basis to it because a lot of the foods that we should be eating are high in fiber, but the fact that the whole diet is based off this bag of powder that they send you, like, right there, you lost me.
It's a lot of pooping.
I would. I don't know. I wasn't there for that part.
Yeah. All right, Jeffy, give us a couple more.
One that's near and dear to all our heart, craft beer went mainstream in this last decade. Yeah. Back in 2008, it was only five large beer conglomerates owned 90.4% of the market share. By 2018, those companies now make up only 80%, which means that there's been an explosion in locally produced craft beer.
Yeah, I think it's definitely true to that. I mean, you look in Connecticut alone, I think we have 90 breweries now or something like that. And I mean, everywhere you go, you know, there's someone, no matter what state, what town, what city you're in, there's a local beer there, it seems like, doesn't it? Like, no matter where you are. I mean, we were just talking about local beer when we kicked the show off here with Lucky Hair Brewing. Like, it's everywhere now, Jeff. I mean, I love great beer, and I think that's, you know, how we're getting it now. And I think that people are getting so used to paying $12, $14 for a six-pack that we don't think twice about it anymore. So it's like buying beer is becoming like buying sneakers.
I agree. I think beer has become very not only trendy, but people are looking at it more the way that people look at wine. Like, they're tasting it. They're tasting it for different things. They're becoming smarter about what they're drinking and why.
Totally.
And I think that's important. You know, some people don't want to just, even though, you know, shout out to PBR, I do like a nice ice cold Pabst Blue Ribbon on the occasion. But you know.
Well, I mean, you guys know, and you can vouch for this, Dave and Robbie, like, you know, Montauk Brewing Company in Montauk, New York, at the very end there in the summertime is, I mean, it's definitely, you know, it's a great beer, but, you know, it's become almost like a lifestyle thing, like a trendy thing or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I blame the millennials.
No,
I think the thing that's cool about beer, kind of following up with Jeff said, is that it is being thought more of like wine, and it's not, they're actually growing hops on these, like, on the land, at least on Long Island. A lot of the breweries are growing their own hops. They're really taking it farm to table, or farm to glass, I guess. And they're really making it, like, you know, they're going the whole route. It's not like they're getting their stuff from wherever and just making it wherever they are and calling it local. They're actually using locally grown stuff. I think that helps, you know, at least in my mind, pay more money for it.
Yeah, you're getting a better product then. I mean, I don't mind paying for it. Listen, when it comes to food and drink, I'll pay top dollar. If it's good stuff, I'll buy it. But, you know, I won't go to the doctor because it costs too much money. I'll buy that $18 six pack if it's, you say it's delicious. Oh, Robbie said this is great. I need to get that. Awesome. How's your back doing? I don't know. I'm going to go to the doctor.
Did you get that tick bite checked out?
I didn't have a tick
bite. No, Dave. Only you have AIDS.
No, it's.
See? Thank you.
Lyme disease.
Thank you. All right, Jeff, give us one more before we wrap this program up.
All right. Well, I think, do you want to hear about what the predictions of, like, the new trends are going to be?
Yeah.
Ooh, can I make one?
Patty on the phone?
What? I can give you, like, I'll give you my top four predictions. You guys tell me what you think.
These are your personal predictions.
Well, from what I've read from what I just feel,
right,
people are what we're going to start seeing more of, And I don't know why, because some of it's bullshit, but I think people are going to get into it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. One thing I think we're going to see much more of is veganism. Mm. It's going to be lots of like, you know, vegan this and vegan that. And I guess, you know, two things that I read that interested me were like IKEA has made vegan meatballs now, which
was wrong. Like, well,
whoa, I was like, what? Swedish vegan balls? I want to go eat at IKEA.
First of all,
also,
no one should ever eat at IKEA, number one. Like, that's a rule. Second of all, you should never eat vegan from IKEA.
I disagree. I agree to disagree.
To get a little boysenberry jam with them?
Listen.
Lingonberry.
It might be pretty good.
Lingonberry.
It could be better for you. And I mean, if you're eating so much shit that you're going to IKEA to eat on a regular, I think getting the vegan meatballs might be a nice choice.
Right. Now, here's my question. How much salt compared to the regular meatballs and the vegan ones?
See, this is why we can't have Dave on the show for very long. Because how the fuck would Jeff know that answer?
I was like, David, I cannot answer that question. I'm sorry. I just think that's going to be one of the big ones that's coming up. I think that we're no longer going to be scared to talk about how awesome
Jen
is.
What the hell is that sound? Who's making noise now?
I have no idea. Someone's playing pinball, it sounds like.
Is that
like
pinball? Playing? Who just Connect Four?
What?
Was that an old register? An old-timey register?
You can't take receipts right now. We're in the middle of the show.
I was working in the general store.
Ding, 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 ding,
Money!
Guys, I'm checking out at IKEA.
All right, Jeff, what else? Predictions. Predictions from Jeffy.
Predictions. I think coming after this year, we're going to see a lot more casual, like, chains pick up. Like, we're going to start seeing all these, like...
Like Panera?
Kind of like Panera or, like...
Didn't we already go like through that
what's
phase?
That Mexican place I just ate at? Something
Chipotle.
The border?
Oh, yeah. Cucaba. On the border.
No, you, like, sit down, and it's more border. Like an Applebee's sort of setting, you know, stuff like that. And I think we're going to see a lot more of these delivery-based things, like Deliveroo, Uber Eats, things where there's going to be more like these ghost kitchens where there's going to be smaller people who can't afford the overhead of having a whole kitchen but want to get their food and their name out there. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
Well, Dave has just done a little research, Stop the Presses. I don't know if you can handle that. Dave, what did you tell her about you just sent us?
All right, so for the vegan meatballs, the sodium, 910 milligrams, and then the regular meatballs I'm looking at right now, 370 milligrams of sodium.
Wow.
So pretty much this proves, like, any Beyond Burger or any plant-based bullshit is going to have double or at least double the amount of sodium as the meat-based product.
So I wonder
to take that into mind.
Well, I wonder if seeing, you know, what Jeff's saying, where this is happening, where we'll see more vegan diets and people still doing, like, fake meats like this, like meatballs and the Beyond Burger, if we're going to start seeing more sodium-based illnesses show up.
I think so. Hypertension. They're like, I'm vegan. How can I have hypertension?
Wow.
Well, we know why.
I actually give – listen, I'm on Dave's team here. I'm giving Dave credit. That's a very astute observation.
No, me too.
Dave.
I'm saying we know why. We just broke the case. Right now, live.
Case solved. We did it. Listen, it's not that you're sick. It's maybe you're salty.
So, Dave, you like the ones with less salt, right?
I do, indeed.
Just to check.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that.
All right. I think we're going to – all right, can I give you my last
– hit us up.
My last two – I think we're going to see a lot of this next year. I think Ube is going to become huge. You know what Ube is?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to become a really popular thing. I think it's going to take off. Everyone's going to be
expensive,
having, like...
Expensive, though, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't stop people from using shit. I think they're going to figure out a way to make it cheaper and get it over here, or make, like, a puree that's probably, like, half ube and half something else, and we'll all be using it shit before you know it.
I had some ube ice cream like last week or the week before. It's fucking delicious.
So good.
Well, tell everybody what ube is so they know.
What's up?
Tell people what ube is in case they don't know.
Oh, I mean, it's pretty much like a purple sweet potato, right?
Yeah, it's like a purple vegetable. Yeah, it's like a root vegetable from I think it's from the Philippines, if I'm correct.
Purple parsnip sweet potato banged a something else.
Dan, have you ever used it?
No, okay, no, and I was wondering, why can't it grow locally? Why can't someone seed it?
That's a great question. You want me to Google that real quick?
I'm just saying. I know farmers.
I think it's from. I think it's because of the minerals in the soil that would make it purple. They use it a lot in Hawaii. At the luau's and stuff.
I thought Hawaiian as well. And I thought it's also like Jamaican where they make what they call food out of it, which is like sweet potatoes and that in a big pot of stew, and they just call it food.
Is that real life? For real?
Yeah, that's real life.
I'm going to have to fact check that one.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll let this Jamaican dude work me for a minute. We'd make food.
I do believe you, though.
And then did you have drink, too?
No, they don't have drink.
What was in drink?
It's yak milk.
It's purple Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I was going to say purple.
From the hood.
Yeah, purple drink. Yeah, I just drink that shit all the time. It's the purple shit.
Drink. Yeah.
It came in like milk color. Containers, but if you couldn't afford the milk, you got the purple drink.
Yeah.
You got purple drink. Come on, drink. Man.
You just
right.
got drink.
It was ube drink then?
It could have been anything. For God's fucking... It could have been...
You can... You actually can grow ube.
It could have been Grimace's jizz, for all I know.
Oh, that was a terrible joke.
Ooh, baby.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Man.
Every morning.
Jeff, you said you can grow here.
I can grow hair.
No, you said you can grow ube here.
Yeah, oh yeah, you can definitely grow ube. It's like a purple sweet potato. It doesn't grow super well up here, but people can definitely grow them. It's a...
Street leaf, Johnny.
Now, was that the last... prediction, Jeffy? Do you have one more? I feel like we interrupted you.
Well, I think that's my last one.
All right. Well, I predict that there'll be 200 more episodes of Plum Love Foods Live. That's what I predict.
Woo!
That's what I predict. We should get that sound effect. Robbie, give us a food prediction for 2020. Go.
People will still eat it.
Okay. I like how you're really taking
fire.
Shots there. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Dan.
We're all still going to have jobs.
Food prediction, Dan.
I think that they're going to push more for local meats like beef and pork, like more, like fully, like almost like the craft beer is taking off. How people want local farms. I think beef and pork are going to get big because of what Jeff said about vegans. The only other way for meat to go is local and for them to really start caring about the meat. And once that happens,
that's a good point.
You gave me a hilarious idea. Wouldn't it be so funny if people took it so far as like all these people in one building are vegan? So one guy's like, fuck that, I'm going to grow a cow in a cage on my deck.
Yes.
He's like, just force feed the giant cow on a deck and just shoveling the shit just to piss people
off.
That
veal? That's veal.
Wow. I mean,
Kobe. He massages it too.
You kind of swung for the fences there with that one, Jeffy, and didn't get a lot of followers.
I thought it would be funny to meet a guy.
No.
Like, there's all these damn vegans around, and I can't take it. Mm. Can't take it. I'm growing Bessie out here.
Ooh. Sorry. Ooh.
You get nothing.
I thought it was a great idea.
Dave,
can we sell it as a kit?
Dave, I'm reluctant to ask you, but food prediction.
Well, the supply of caviar has gone up, so prices have gone down, so it's made it more approachable for the 99%. So I think we're going to see it on menus more.
Caviar.
Yeah.
Wow.
Supply has gone up, so I mean prices have dropped.
Sustainable caviar, though, I think, right?
Yeah, it's sustainable caviar for now. I mean, farmed caviar. I learned like some farms takes up to 25 years before,
right?
They'll actually produce sellable caviar. But Yeah, I think that's going to be the next like thing popping up.
I'm not a big caviar fan. I try. It's not my thing.
Fucking delicious, bro.
No,
I love caviar.
Yeah.
Talking about salt content.
I hope that's a trend, and I hope that we do see some really great cheap caviar. It would be amazing.
Well, there you have it, folks. Recapping 2019 right here on Plum Love Foods Live with all the boys sitting in on the program. It was very fun having Rob and Dan and Jeffy with us and Dave and myself just kind of recapping some of the fun stuff that happened on the show and talking about trends coming up. We're going to keep track of all those. We're basically going to do like a Deadpool sort of situation where we keep track of the trends, so we'll see. So far, Rob is in the lead with everyone's still going to eat, so that's good. Rob is in the lead. That's good news. I don't know if anyone's going to catch up to him. But
go, Rob, go.
Yeah, yeah.
I got this on lock.
I do like Dave putting out there about the caviar. That's pretty cool, and I think it's a legit thing to say, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for checking out Plum Love Foods Live. A lot of fun sitting here tonight and reminiscing a little bit, gentlemen. Thank you guys for sitting in with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, thanks, Dan.
You're welcome. Love, Dan. Love you, Rob. Love you. Happy New Year, guys.
Yes, yes. Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us on, guys.
100%.
It's a wonderful time.
And we look forward to next week, man. We got a great program on. So Rob, you got to check it out, man. We got a really great show. I can't wait for you to hear the gentleman that's going to be on the program with us. So
it's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. It's always awesome. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, what's that? Is somebody trying to chime in before we end it?
No, I just said always awesome.
Oh, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember that food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give the time it deserves. We'll see you next week. Peace!
I'm the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters. Do you think I'm crazy? I've got my